In your Bible to Esther. We're starting a new chapter. We're winding down, really. Although today I'm going to cover something that I think is strongly implied in the book of Esther. As I read this book, and we're going to look at chapter 8. The name of God, I think I'm correct in saying this, the name of God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. But you see His providence working on behalf of His people, His chosen people. The nation of Israel, made up of what commonly referred to as the Jewish people. And chapter 8 really is a testament to the fact that God preserves His people, the Jews. Well, after Haman had been hung by the commandment of the king, there were other pressing matters at hand. See, the decree to have the Jews exterminated and destroyed boy, that ain't happened to me in a while. Get some of this Hecla water, I'll be all right. This isn't bottled water. Connie fills these things up with Hecla water. It's the healing water. The healing waters of Hecla. But that decree to have the Jews destroyed was irrevocable because it was according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians. So in this chapter, the king grants Mordecai the authority to send out another decree throughout the kingdom, which would give the Jews the right to defend themselves against attack on the appointed day of slaughter. It says in chapter 8, verse 1, on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. So they were rewarded, okay, by the king. But I do want to bring out today, and it's probably where I'm going to spend most of my time, something that is clearly implied in the book of Esther that I consider to be a major doctrine throughout the Word of God. In Romans chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, Paul the Apostle says, I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He hath foreknown, which He foreknew. God is going to keep His covenant with the Jewish people, with the nation of Israel. There will be a spiritual application where the terms of the new covenant, where their sins are put away and forgiven and His Spirit is put within them, that will happen on the day of God's appointing. I believe I know precisely when that's going to happen wholesale. And I'll show it to you in the Bible. when that day when He's going to pour out His Spirit upon the nation of Israel, and they're going to look to the one that they had pierced, and they're going to believe on Christ. You see, nobody in either Testament or throughout any dispensation, nobody is saved apart from faith in Jesus Christ. There aren't several different ways of being saved. There's not a way for the Jew and another way for the Gentile. It's Christ and Christ alone. God had made a covenant spiritually and physically with the nation of Israel. And it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 13. You want to turn there. We're going to look at a few scriptures that really flow out of this initial promise that God made to the nation of Israel. Okay, we're going to first start, go back to chapter 12, verse 7. Chapter 12, where God first calls Abraham. At that time, Abram. He would later be called Abraham. 12, verse 2, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Why is that? Because Christ is going to come through the seed of Abraham. He is going to bless all the nations of the world, because Christ will come and give His life for people in every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, according to Revelation 5:9. He is going to redeem a people out of every nation, out of all the families of the earth. And that promise and the realization of it when they're around the throne in Revelation 5:9 goes all the way back to God's initial dealings with Abraham. And it says in verse 7, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." Chapter 13 and verse 15. It says, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Chapter 17 and verse 7 and 8. And this is, to me, this is one of the keys. "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant." God made an everlasting covenant with His chosen people, the nation of Israel. "To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God." Everlasting covenant, which He determined to be gracious unto them. An everlasting possession of the land that God deeded to them. Folks, people have been fighting over that strip of land for years. It belongs to the Jews by divine right. And like I've said so many times, one of the greatest proofs that the Bible is true is just one word: Israel. How in the world can a nation that everybody hates, that lives in a little strip of land surrounded by Muslims, Islamists, terrorists, who all want to exterminate them, how are they still a nation? How are they intact? God. our covenant-keeping God. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, this is really this idea that the nation of Israel will be spiritually and physically restored and reconciled to God is something that's found throughout the Scripture, and especially in the prophets. So if you turn over there to Jeremiah chapter 23, again, this what's so key about this is if what happened in the book of Esther hadn't happened, if God would not have intervened and defeated the plan of Haman, the nation of Israel would have been exterminated. There'd be no Messiah. All right, Jeremiah chapter 23. And again, I'm just reading the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Jeremiah 23, and look at verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. By the way, the only righteous branch that came out of David is the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other kings that descended from David were corrupt and sinful. Christ is the righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall exercise, and shall execute judgment and justice from heaven. Is that what it says? No, it says, in the earth, the king is going to execute judgment and justice in the earth. I believe it'll be during the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign. Now notice, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Israel and Judah will be reunited. They were split during the days of Rehoboam, who followed Solomon. God's going to bring all that, he's going to bring them unified under the headship of King Jesus during his millennial reign. It's a promise of God. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 31. This is one of the humdingers, I think. One of my favorites. Jeremiah 31, verse 35. This is why I don't believe God has replaced in any way the promises He made to the nation of Israel with any other entity. I've never regarded Israel and the church as the same entity. They're separate. Verse 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is His name. He gives you a hypothetical situation here. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. In other words, it ain't happening. He's not going to forsake them. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. But He's not going to do that. See? Chapter 33, verse 14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That has never been fulfilled, but it's going to be fulfilled. during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Look over with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. The reason why I'm bringing this out today is because I want you to understand just how miraculous it was when God intervened on behalf of the Jews in the book of Esther. God has a purpose. Men, devils, Haman can't thwart the purpose of God. Ezekiel chapter 36, and look at verse 23. "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land." That's a promise. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." He's talking about the regeneration of elect Israel here. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Right now, the Jews are in unbelief. They have stony hearts. If they die in their sins, they're going to hell. They must be changed just like you have to be changed. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." This is a promise of God. It's going to happen. Look over at Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, and I think he gives you when this spiritual regeneration and the gifts of repentance and faith are going to be granted unto elect Israel. He says in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." This is Jesus talking. Jesus is the one who was pierced. "And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and they shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." This coincides with what is stated in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. They're going to be washed from their sins. I believe it's going to happen at the beginning of the millennium. At the end of the tribulation, the beginning of the millennium, God is going to regenerate Israel and restore them to their land. And they'll play a prominent role in the millennial reign of 1,000 years. Say, now I need some proof from Jesus about that. I want to hear from the King. Glad you said that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 19. It says in verse, I really like what leads up to this, because they were talking about entering into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, or when the disciples, verse 25, heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Men can't live up to the standards of perfection that are set forth in the holy law of God. That's why they must depend upon the only person who ever fulfilled all the law and then paid the penalty that was due to the law. That's Jesus Christ. And that's what this is dealing with. It's impossible for men to live up to God's standard because they're fallen, they're sinful, they're wicked. But you know what? Things that men say is impossible, God can perform. The rational unbeliever say it's impossible for the Jews ever to be restored. Look at what Jesus says in connection with this context. Verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto them, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Peter always, he was always kind of digging in, wasn't he? Hey man, we've been following you now. What are we going to get? You know? He was a really honest fellow. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, I believe this is referring to the millennial reign, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory. Where's that going to be at? Jerusalem. According to Jeremiah 23 and 31, ye also, now listen carefully, ye also, the members of the first church, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Meaning that Jesus is predicting that the 12 tribes of Israel will be intact during the millennial reign. So, I hope you understand just how amazing it is that God preserves the Jewish nation as set forth in the book of Esther. There is coming a day of spiritual restoration and resurrection of elect Israel, when God will pour out His Spirit upon them and they will call upon the Lord. Yet that prophecy and many others concerning the elect nation of Israel would have gone unfulfilled unless God had preserved the Jews in the days of Esther by His providential hand. Now next week, that's my introduction. We'll get into the exposition of the chapter next week, God willing.